fast-tracked around Australia. Here's Inside Motorsport.
Hello and welcome to Inside Motorsport for another week. I'm hoping that I can get Greg Strange straight on the line here from the Acropolis Rally. Greg Strange, good evening or good morning to you.
I'll come back to you. Yeah, very good morning to you, and how are you down there? I'm so sorry, I wasn't actually necessarily expecting you this split second. It's nice to hear your voice.
Yes, it's good to have you back on Inside Motorsport again. And Greg, very interesting Acropolis Rally with Colin McRae back out in front.
Yes, he is going. He's just done the first stage of the last day, so we've got seven stages today. There are now six left for him, and he now has a 39-second lead over Carlos Sainz. Richard Burns, who started the day in third place, some 3 minutes behind McRae, seems to have lost a couple of minutes on that first stage. We're still waiting for a few more times to come in. I think he'll keep his third place, but he's obviously going for the points today. Burns, whatever happens, will lead this championship after this rally. But if McRae can actually win it, well, good for him, because he will move to second equal in the championship. And for us Brits, that's tremendous news, because it means we're going to have a Brit v Brit, or a Scot versus an Englishman, as we run into the end of the championship.
And also maybe a Ford 1-2 team orders in force.
No team orders we understand, but both McRae and Sainz very much aware that that's exactly what Ford needs to close the gap on Subaru in the Manufacturers' Championship. And of course, you know, with great respect to Colin McRae, the Ford the Manufacturers' Championship means more to them than the Drivers' Championship.
Now, during the week, I know there was some big news for rally fans and the way rallying is going to be organised in the future.
Well, I mean, we've had so many developments over the last fortnight, one way or another, Craig, that you're almost running out of time to keep pace with them. But let's begin at the beginning. Obviously, we've had the takeover of the IFC company. This is the company that's controlled the broadcasting rights for World Rallying, and it's been taken over by David Richards, the boss of the ProDrive company, who prepare the rallying Subarus, from Bernie Ecclestone. So we have a new boss, as it were, in charge of a new ringmaster, if you like, in charge of the broadcasting rights, and that's very significant for rallying one way or another. It's a bit hard yet to spot exactly what the changes will be, but I mean, we're already noticing changes, simply from our point of view. For years we've wanted to provide coverage of the World Rally Championship on the BBC World Service. We're now being allowed to do so. And if he goes on making as many waves as he has, then, you know, changes, I think we're in for a very interesting few months. I think World Running could really come out of its closet, if you like, come out of its ghetto and go places, as it's always deserved to do. So that's been one big change. We've also had some changes in the lineup of the World Championship. Cyprus has been confirmed as taking over from China, so we're not going to China in September. Hooray, hooray. We're going to Cyprus instead. It's a lot cheaper for all of us, and a lot cheaper, I suppose, for the teams. But and that rally, which has always been one of the toughest on the European calendar, after 20 years of trying, finally gets the chance to host the World Rally, so they're thrilled a bit. We've had changes in the regulations this week involved on the safety side. For this rally, the FIA decided finally to bring in full flameproof overalls, the kind of things that Schumacher and Coulthard would wear for the rally teams, for the rally drivers and co-drivers. So they now have to wear the full triple layer flameproof suits. Now this, in fact, has been terribly unpopular, not least on this rally, because of course this is the hottest, in many respects, the hottest of all the rallies. It's as hot as Safari, and because it's short and twisty, you don't get the air flow through the car to keep the drivers warm, cool, as you do in Kenya. And what actually happened on the first day is they all went out in these new, very heavy suits. The temperatures inside the cars, Subaru tell me that the temperature in Richard Burns' car went up to just under 70 Celsius. And how anybody can survive in that heat, I'm not entirely sure, but it caused all kinds of problems. Robert Reed, who's Richard Burns' co-driver, actually passing out in the heat, suffering from heat exhaustion. And so the stewards moved very quickly, under a great deal of pressure, the following day, and relaxed the rule. The drivers are now all going out in single-layer suits, at their own risk, it should be said, but certainly they don't risk heat stroke. So, yeah, we've had a number of changes this week, and it's been fairly bumpy, one way or another, and quite interesting to follow.
Well, Greg, I know you have a lot of commitments, but I will ask you, a rumour going around in Australia at the moment is there will be a change of venue as well in this major shake-up.
Yeah, it does look like that. It does look like Victoria has done it again. Obviously from here in Greece, it's not exactly easy to find out the machinations of Australian motorsport, but all the rumours reaching us suggest that Victoria, having got the Grand Prix, is going to get the Australian rally as well. Now, there are all kinds of conversations about deals and counter-deals and all the rest, but I think watch this space, it does look as if Victoria's got it and Western Australia is losing it.
Well, I know for a spectator point of view, the trek to Melbourne is a lot more convenient for the East Coasters than it is to Western Australia.
I'm sure you know better than me. I have to warn you, Craig, that I can hardly hear a word you're saying. If I tell you that I am sitting by the seaside having a quiet cup of coffee when you rang, the last thing I expected was you out of the blue. Here at Itea, which is a port and a holiday resort in Greece. What I can tell you, though, is that we've got a fascinating day ahead of us here on the last day of the Acropolis Rally. 6 stages left. McRae leads Sainz, leads Burns, and I think we're in for a crackerjack finish.
All right, so I appreciate you taking the time.
Take care.
Bye. Greg Strange joining us there, as you heard, from Greece, and well, plenty of news coming up in the world of rallying right throughout this week. And as you know, the 1-2 at Ford looks to be how it's going to take. Now, I'm going to do my piece of Triple S racing. I should get the beeper out, but four followers of the ACTAB on the GMC 400. The results, 6, 1 and 3. 6 paid $9.60 for the win, $4.30 for the place. Number 1, $2.30. And number 3, $5.30. The Quinella for 6 and 1, $35.40 for a $1 bet. So those results again, 6, 1 and 3. $9.60, $4.30, $2.30 for the second, and $5.30 for third. You can believe that we are going to talk a lot more about the GMC 400 right throughout this evening. But first, we should recap on a very interesting Grand Prix of Monaco, which was won in the end by David Coulthard. A very interesting event for sure. And David Coulthard was ecstatic at his victory.
Said this is a few big Grand Prix for me personally that I'd like to win, and that's Spa because of it's my favourite track. The British Grand Prix, of course, is my home Grand Prix. Italian Grand Prix because there's nothing quite like an Italian crowd for Formula One. And Monaco because it's technically one of the most challenging and difficult tracks for any driver. And okay, I've benefited today from problems with Michael and with Jarno, but at Monaco, and I've had my fair share of bad luck over the years. So I think that must be a fair confidence boost to one's mind to have 2 world championships under your belt. But I've never been at all psyched by his achievement or Michael's or whoever it happens to be that I'm competing against, because you know personally I've just been working towards achieving my maximum and improving as a driver. You know, I've always said that I still feel I've got more to give, and I think that slowly as my confidence grows, I'm giving more and more all the time. So as that happens, I'll expect more from the team. But today, there's no complaints. It's a great day for us.
Yes, and David Coulthard going through there to pick up a great victory at Monaco for fans of open wheel racing. The Casino Magic 500, which was rescheduled after rain in Texas, will be run tomorrow, American time. The race officially postponed due to rain on Saturday at the Indy Racing League and Texas Motor Speedway officials announced for the grid for this event. And of course, this event marking a return for one Greg Ray, who had a disastrous Indy 500. He was looking to start on the pole beside Montoya and really take it away. But for Greg Ray, who, well, came out this week and said he was very disappointed with his performance.
I don't feel like we gave, I reflect on it and I feel like we could have done a better job in a lot of ways. And all you can do from that is learn. And like I said, time and time again, there's a lot of honor in finishing anywhere you finish as long as you give it your best shot. And the hardest thing for us, or, you know, speaking for myself, the hardest thing for me to swallow between now and next year is that I know it didn't get my best shot. And that's
Yes, Greg Ray, hoping to come back at the Texas race and put in his best, unfortunately qualifying on the inside of the ninth row. We'll go through the qualifying grid for the Casino Magic 500, but his Lazier will start off the pole with Robbie Buell, the outside. Row 2, Scott Goodyear and Licio Salazar will start side by side, whilst Eddie Cheever and Mark Dismore will start in Row 3. Row 4, Jeff Ward, Donny Belschner. Row 5, Al Jr. and Jarrett Schroeder. Al Jr. also looking to make amends for a disappointing 500. Billy Boat and Scott Sharp will share row number 6, while Sam Hornish Jr. and Rob McGee row 7. Stefan Gregoire and Tyce Carlson share 8, whilst Greg Ray, as I mentioned, and Jack Lazier are on row 9. Row 10 is Bud Colskin, Buzz Colkins and Ayrton Dare. Row 11, Robbie Unser and Davey Hamilton. Row 12, Jim Kite and Doug Dero. Sarah Fisher will start on row 13 with Shigigo Hattori. And Billy Rowe returns to the IRL and will make a provisional start. So we wait to see this race. Fox Sports covering it, and I think it is tape delayed for tomorrow. So it might actually be live. Check your local guide for more details. And as we once again try to reconnect with the GMC 400, of course, coming up in the show, plenty of news from the GMC 400. We might just take a short break here on Inside Motorsport and come back with, hopefully, Colin Ford.
There's an exciting new bonus for early renewing members of the ACT Racing Club. Renew your membership by August 1 and receive 2 member stand passes to the Qantas Canberra Cup on October 8. So get in early, renew your membership to the ACT Racing Club and receive your bonus. Sponsors of Triple S.
If you know someone who'd like to improve their reading and writing, phone 1300 655 06, the Reading Writing Hotline. There are lots of adults who can't read and write as well as they'd like to, but it's never too late to learn, and it's easier than you'd think. Phone 1300 655 06 for help with reading and writing. 1300 655 06. Go on, do it.
Yes, and Colin Ford's still in the media conference at the GMC 400. So we might take a look at Formula Holden Racing with two races on the cards, and on a fairly bumpy track, it was a very exciting win in race number 2 for Chris Staff, who we caught up with at the end of racing today.
Yeah, no, definitely. I raced full season last year, but unfortunately never able to sort of get out in the front and actually win a race. So for this year, it's been a bit actually from across the ditch originally, as you so kindly put it. And but I've been over in Australia now for about 8 years, and I live in Queensland and work in Queensland as well. So I'm sort of half Queenslander. So no, I really like it over here, so I'll definitely be staying.
The Challenge Racing team, a newish team from Holden?
No, actually we've had them all season last year. Challenge Recruitment. They've been really good to us. They came on board again just at the first round at Phillip Island, and again for Adelaide, and then after that, it's a well since it's been going so good, we'll might stick with it for the rest of the year, so this should certainly help us.
What's your background in racing?
Based off everyone else, I actually raced motocross to start with, won the New Zealand Motocross Championship in 1990, and then I went to sprint karts, like everyone does. Then I did a little bit of supercarts. I did 1 year over here in 97, won the championship my first year. It was really good supercarts, just a really good class, you know, good field, and everything was going really well for us in that. And then we thought, well, we really wanted to get out, you know, in car racing. So I had a couple of goes for the last 3 rounds in 98 in the Formula Ford, and sort of struggled a bit with that. You know, it's hard to sort of come in at the end of the season and try and, you know, sort of show everyone up. But that was, we sort of went well enough in that to run Ross Australia in the Formula Holden. And he said, yeah, we'll give you a run. So went down and had a test. He was really wrapped. So we ended up doing last year in the Formula Holden with Ross Australia and managed to come second in the year. So this year we've put a bit behind the eight ball, but we're getting it. That's pretty big this one for us. Hopefully we can keep an at them. But that's tough. Yeah, we struggled with power being in the season, and that race was sort of, you know, made us feel like, you know, we can do it with that car, so it should be all right.
Yes, and a very happy Chris Staff there, taking out race number two. Well, the man who won the day, in fact, in the Formula Holdens, was no stranger to Inside Motorsport. It was Christian Murchison.
Second today and a third yesterday, overall winning the championship round this week and taking the lead of the championship again. So, I mean, we're very, very happy to take the car, and we were very, very lucky to be able to continue.
Mm. His teammate Al Breed had a resurgence of form and somewhat, and looking a lot better as well.
Yeah, Dale, I mean, he's at his home circuit here, and he's very, very much wanted to win. So he's obviously put in the extra yards, and it's very, very good to have him up there as well. I'm very happy to see that he's having a great run, and hopefully we'll see a bit of a turnaround with his performance pushing, and there's a lot of good drivers, and I mean, it's really closed the category and made it very, very competitive. People are taking a lot more seriously now with obviously making sure all their cars are legal and certain things like that, whereas before it was very much sort of overlooked. So I think the category has really taken a turn, and hopefully it'll keep growing and getting a lot more strength.
Yes, and Christian Murchison taking out a good result there, picking up the win in today's in the GMC 400 Formula Holden support races. And that leaving Christian Murchison at the top of the tree in Formula Holden at the halfway point in the season. So congratulations there. For the ACT drivers, this was where they were mostly involved. And Dale Breed picking up a third place today in the second race, a very good result. And Terry Clerahan making his first drive in Formula Holden. Had some great support there from National Neon Signs and also from the Mitchell Auto Centre. Congratulations to him too. He finished down the field a ways, but certainly not a bad result for a first ever drive on probably a track that will start to get a nickname like Too Tough to Tame, because as you saw today in the racing, it was a pretty big monster there. We might talk sprint car racing for the moment. We're trying to get a hold of Wade Auger a little bit later in the show, but over in the United States, the World Series, the World of Outlaws sprint car, had their first run at the Bristol Speedway, and a great win going out to Mark Kinzer. Johnny Schott's picking up second place, third place going to Danny Wood, fourth place to Steve Kinzer, fifth place to Steve Smith, sixth to Tyler Walker. Joey Sedana finished in seventh, whilst Tim Schaefer finished in eighth. Jeff Shepherd finished in ninth position, and Paul McMahon closed up the 10. For the Australians, it was Brooke Tatnall who finished in 18th position, so a good result, and that's two from two now that Brooke has managed to make his way into the feature field. The fast time setter was Sam Swindle, that finished well back in the racing. Last weekend, we saw the NHRA running over at the Route 66, the Preston Route 66 Nationals up there at Joliet, and history was made at the third annual Preston Route 66 Nationals when funny car driver John Force drove his Castrol Ford Mustang to his 86th win. This is making him the most prolific drag racer in the 49-year history of the National Hot Rod Association. Force dominated the entire event, taking the number one qualifying position and blowing all corners en route to his historic win. In Team Winston, Top Fuel driver Gary Selsey also made a little bit of history of his own. He took a, fourth win of the season, coming back from a harrowing wreck on Friday to claim his 18th victory. So a good run in the end for Gary Selsey, coming back from that wreck. In the pro stock ranks, Ron Kersher carded his first win of his short career, beating nine-time runner-up Troy Coughlin. Ayrton Brown corked up a big win in pro stock bike, and it was Bob Pinella's turn to beat Randy Daniels in pro stock truck. In one of the most remarkable comebacks in recent memory, though, it was Selsey that crawled out of a twisted wreck of his ruined Team Winston Dragster on Friday afternoon to jump back in his car Saturday morning and wound up winning the event over Larry Dixon. To win the 18th of his career ties him with legendary Shirley Mondowney for sixth place on the all-time professional win list. So a good result there, Force and Selsey both making history there. In USGP news, I meant to do this whilst we had the story about David Coulthard, but also at Monaco, for all the fans who are looking forward to the USGP at Indy, Tony George made a media announcement, and this was for the naming rights sponsor of the September event at Indy.
For running of the US Grand Prix.
It is a privilege to be here in Monaco as part of the Grand Prix weekend. This is something that I've wanted to do now for 15 years. And what makes this so very special for me is this year, for the first time in 9 years, the U.S. will play host to a round of the Formula One World Championship. And on behalf of my family and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we look forward to welcoming Formula One in September. I can say with confidence that we will offer a world-class venue in a world-class city that loves and understands motorsport. And now I'm pleased to announce that we have reached a multi-year agreement with SAP, the world's largest enterprise software company, to become the title sponsor for the United States Grand Prix. The official name will be SAP United States Grand Prix Indianapolis. The rich racing heritage of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is known worldwide, and we're happy that SAP is bringing its international reputation of excellence and success to the United States Grand Prix through its title sponsorship, and we believe that there is no better venue for SAP to choose to achieve its goals.
We are very excited that we can join you in bringing the Formula One back to the United States. I think that will give us a little extra leverage and publicity. And actually, it's not only publicity to create a brand name or foster the branding of our product name, MySAP.com. It's a great opportunity walking along the pit lane here. Most of the companies you see their company names and logos are customers of SAP. The whole network of the automotive industry, of the automotive manufacturers, and the second-tier and third-tier companies working together, they're our customers. That's perhaps the most unique situation where we can get together people and consumers and our customers of the industrial world.
Yes, and big news there for the USGP at Indy. Well, the event that we were all looking forward to has arrived and been run and won, as it were, in this ACT. The nation's car capital was the GMC 400. Joining us right throughout this race weekend was Colin Ford, and he joins us again on Inside Motorsport. Colin, a very interesting weekend, to say the very least.
Yeah, Craig, a very good weekend's racing you had here at the new Canberra Street Circuit for the GMC 400. The eventual results were quite interesting. In fact, of Craig Lowndes being the winner of the third race, but actually winning the round overall was Stephen Richards. So it was very, very handy for his sort of results for the championship. Anyhow, we'll just see, got a few different drivers, one young Unclassman 7 grabbed hold of one here, two can see me hold of Todd Kelly for a second.
All right, Todd Kelly having a great run there, winning the second race. I know a lot of people just, his pit stop was so quick in that first pit bay, a lot of people just didn't realise that he'd already made the pit stop when he did. So as Colin just went for Todd Kelly right now, live radio, you have to love it. We might also mention that, well, the NASCARs, they make their welcome return to the Michigan Speedway. And one thing wide open spaces means is that there are plenty of opportunities to park. That's why many consider the 2 mile track in the Irish Hills the lucky charm. Bobby Labonte will be looking to take advantage of that pole position, where Labonte has seen his Pontiac run the track at 189.883 miles an hour. Ricky Rudd will start beside him on the outside of the front row. Jeff Gordon and Rusty Wallace, two veterans of the Michigan Speedway, will start on row two, whilst Joe Nemechek, having a great qualifying run, starts next to the rookie sensation, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jeff Burton and Bill Elliott will start the next row back, with Dale Earnhardt and John Andretti in the STP Pontiac, finishing off the top 10. Colin.
Yeah, unfortunately, Craig, we've got a very bad line here. We can barely hear you from our end.
All right then, well, I'll let you go with Todd Kelly now.
Yes, Craig.
All right then, it looks like we might have to try and re-establish connection there with Colin Ford. Hopefully we can get a better line through to him in the media centre at the GMC 400. Of course, there was not only the Formula Holden's part of the racing this weekend, but of course there was the favourites of a lot of people, and that being the GTP. Well, we caught up with one of the winners after the event. That was Mark King. And if I cue the tape up in the right place, you'll even hear from him directly.
Hey. Yeah, mate, it was fantastic. I believe I cried. It was just a rocket ship around these circuits, plenty of mumbo, good brakes, had an absolute ball.
And Quantum?
Mate, Auto Pro, King Springs, what can I say? Good combination.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Craig.
Yeah, it's a good run there by Mark King, taking the two wins. In fact, he did a great job there. Colin Ford rejoining us now. Hopefully we've got a better line through to you.
Yeah, okay, Craig, a little bit better than what it was before. Certainly, a bit better. The fortunate thing seems to be that wherever we are here, it's not the greatest perception that we're getting through at this point in time. Yeah, unfortunately, Todd's been able to slip away from us in that time that we're trying to get back to things here. But it's quite an interesting race. There is a talk that already that there's plans afoot to make some changes to the circuit to try and improve things for next year. But they did announce the fact that more than 100,000 people flocked to the GMC 400 over the 3 days. We had 22,000 people attending on the Friday when the cars first made their debut on the track. There was 37,000 people on the track yesterday on Saturday, and over 50,000 people on the track today for the Sunday for the final day of the three-day event. And as it was, they were able to see Stephen Richards take victory after the third and final race. For him, a bit of a step up from the usual performance we've seen from that Kmart racing team in terms of the Shell series so far, and very interesting to see the fact that they have actually moved quite up into the championship. As it is now, it's still Mark Scaife who leads the championship from Glenn Seaton, then Garth Tander, Craig Lowndes, and then Paul Radisich. So it's actually made a bit of a change to the championship positions at this time.
All right, then. I know that we are looking forward to this event coming back for a five-year period, which it's been signed up for.
Yeah, it's been signed up for a five-year period, and they're anticipating that if things work out the way they want, that what we'll see is a number of improvements made to this track over the next few years. You know, some of them will be incremental, some of them will be more dramatic, potentially, but they're very happy with the results they've seen so far. They're very happy with the crowd response, the response from the teams, the response from the sponsors, and they'll certainly be back over the next few years, particularly as far as they are aware, the 100,000 plus crowd is the best result seen for a three-day sporting event in the ACT. As I mentioned, Floriade does 175,000 over 4 weeks, but to get 100,000 people in 3 days is the biggest event Canberra has seen to date.
All right then, Colin. Well, we'll keep in touch with you right throughout this weekend, and of course, as the drivers come to hand, I'm sure you'll keep us informed. But Colin Ford joining us there on the line, and well, we're looking forward to this event coming back, and also we're looking forward to the historic touring cars who didn't get the best shake of the stick, as we heard there, also having dramas with the race shortened. Well, red flag periods affecting races on the Saturday and the Sundays, but it was good for the opportunity when we did see the older cars out there making their first appearance at the GMC 400, and we look forward to seeing them back in the future.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and discs, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop, and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find in the old Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Gwendolyn, sponsors of Triple S.
You took your car to someone else. The job left you aghast. Now's the time to make the change.
check out the team at Everlast.
That's right, Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating. Easy to find in Pembla Street, Fishwick. The Everlast Service Centre is paid from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
The Everlast Automotive Services, sponsors at Triple X.
Hello.
Glenn Seaton joins us on the line here on Triple S FM. Glenn Seaton, congratulations. A very tough day at the office and a pretty tough track, the GMC 400 event.
Yeah, it was really. Running around any street circuit's quite tough and quite long. 50 laps around here was definitely spent your energy, and but it was a great event. It had good spectator turnout, and it ended up coming out a good event in the end.
You, as a team owner and operator, are you the man that makes the decisions on the racetrack as to pit strategy?
Naturally, I'm involved in the pit strategy side of it, but the guys in the team make most of those decisions. I just give them the feedback from once we're on the road and where we are and where I feel that we should come in, and they make a decision from there.
Because right throughout today, these short races with compulsory pit stops, strategy virtually won and lost races for a lot of you.
There's no doubt about that, and that's where it was won and lost this weekend, because it's a circuit you can't pass on, and it wasn't the fastest guys and the fastest cars that actually won this event.
Now, your teammate put in, I think, his best performance for the season, Neil Crompton.
Yeah, Neil ended up finishing equal second overall, and I think he did a great job, and it's just great for Neil, because he's had some struggles in the past, but he's come back and done a great job now.
Now, also for yourself, what did you think of the reverse grid? There was a lot of controversy coming into this meeting about the reverse grid, and then once you got here, you saw how tight the track was. I think there was a lot of discussions about it, wasn't there?
Oh, there's no doubt. I don't think reverse grid should be happening on street circuits, because you just don't have the room for passing. You don't have the room for having reverse grid style races. So I'm not an advocate for reverse grid, but at the end of the day, we should probably only do it on the circuits that are man-made and are wide enough for it.
Would you be against reverse grid just full stop? Is the idea of putting everyone to the front?
Well, I don't think reverse grids are... Probably really they don't do it in Formula 1, and they don't do it in most of them World Championship races, so at the end of the day I'm not in favour of a reverse grid, but at the end of the day we are also in the entertainment game, and if it does prove to be successful, it probably could be good.
Well, there is another Canberra link to you, because this week you announced that Wayne Gardner and Canberra's Neil Bates will share the car in the long distance races.
Yeah, that's right. Wayne Gardner and Neil Bates will share the car at Bathurst, and that should be a great combination. Neil had a run in the car a week and a half ago, and he did a great job. So it should be good for FTR, and we'll be able to go there with two front-running cars.
Now, last year, Neil shared the car with Brabham at the Queensland 500 in Bathurst. Will Brabham be coming in whilst Wayne Gardner's got commitments in Japan?
No, Dean Canto will do a young guy that's doing V8 Lights at the moment. So... He will come in for Wayne for that event, and then Wayne and Neil join back up for Bathurst.
All right then. Well, Glenn, it was a pretty tough weekend for car owners, and I'm sure you're glad to see the back of Canberra for 12 months.
Yeah, thank you very much. And there has been a lot of damaged cars this weekend, but at the end of the day, we came out with unscathed, which I'm very happy with.
All right, thanks very much, Glenn.
Thank you.
Bye. There on Inside Motorsport, Peter Norton. Unfortunately, Peter Norton dropping out there. Colin Ford rejoining us now. And Colin, it was a car breaker, this circuit.
Yeah, Craig, the circuit very much a car breaker. One thing that people have said is the fact, because of the narrowness of the circuit and the bumpiness in many parts, that's been one of the problems that they've come across, is the fact that it makes it very, very difficult to try and overtake. You do have to take risks to try and get around another driver. And of course, just the bumpiness, we've seen that particularly with the Formula Fords, the Formula Holdens, when they would sort of literally bottom out and jump around all over the track when they hit certain parts of it. So for them, it wasn't, it was a track that was going to put a lot of demands on the cars, and also put a lot of demands on the drivers as well. And we've seen the fact that, you know, people trying to make moves were putting the pressure on other drivers, therefore leaning on them and causing panel damage.
All right. I don't know if Dave's anywhere near you, but I know Dave's been keeping a track of all the racing that was on the track this weekend.
Yeah, he has, and he's got those results available for you. And if you contact him on his, he can get that for you.
We might just take a short break here on Inside Motorsport as we continue with our GMC post-race coverage.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and discs, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find at your Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Quindin, sponsors of Triple S.
Yes, I don't know.
You took your car to someone else. The job was
too
aghast. Now's the time to make the change. Check out the team at Everlast.
That's right, Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating.
Easy
to find in Hill Street, Fishwick. The Everlast services are free from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
Okay, see, that's
Everlast Automotive.
Hopefully going to be Peter Nonsense at Triple X. How you going,
if you missed the latest race results, take advantage of ACTAB InfoLine.
You'll need to call 6245 1185. For race meetings and result summaries, call 6245 1186. ACTAB's racing information lines. Call 6245 1185 and 6245 1186. ACTAB and Triple S, making betting easier.
Yes, joining us at the GMC 400, Dave Wakefield is there with all the results from right throughout the race weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Obviously, a big part of this weekend is the V8 supercars, but of course, one of the great things about these events is the support acts that they go to make up the rest of the program and provide us with entertainment between the V8 races.
Craig, you got me on hold.
Hey? You there, Craig?
Yeah, please continue.
Yep, sorry, mate. Okay, we'll start off with the Nations Cup for the GTP, Century Batteries GTP Nations Cup for the exotic cars, class created this year to separate from the ever-burgeoning ranks of GTP racing. And race one was run yesterday afternoon, and just before the main V8 race of the evening, and that was won by Jim Richards in a Porsche 911 GT3 from Mark Noski in the Ferrari 360 Challenge. Jim having a huge battle with Mark there, and Mark actually setting fastest lap there on the final lap of the 8 laps. That journey there, I believe that would have been actually shortened to keep up with the schedule. We had some fairly major problems yesterday with obviously with falling behind the schedule for all the crashes and recovery vehicles on the track. So some of the events actually had suffered a bit there with being shortened at the last minute. Third place is Peter Fitzgerald in his Porsche. Fourth, Paul Stokel in the Lamborghini Diablo. And fifth, Wayne Park in the Ferrari 360. This morning we had a reverse grid for the round for race two of the Nations Cup, similar to what was happening in the main V8 event, and that created quite some interesting entertaining racing there. Final results there being Mark Williamson actually in a Porsche 911 GT3 from Fitzy in his GT3, Jim Richards third, and Mark Noski again in fourth, and Mark again setting fastest lap there on the final lap in his bid to catch Jim Richards in their fight for the championship, which those two are hotly contesting at the moment. Fifth place is rounded out by Wayne Park in the other Ferrari 360. The finishing positions for the two races there went up to make up the starting grid for race three for the Nations Cup this afternoon, the finale. And there we had a great start from Peter Fitzgerald coming together with Jim Richards actually on the at turn one. That dropped Richards down to fifth, and then he basically had to spend the rest of the race trying to catch up. And that race, again, because of the cuts to the program falling behind schedule, we had cut from down to seven laps, and then partway through the race, they decided to cut it down to five. So no one was quite sure in the end what their strategies were going to be. It was basically a case of getting there and try and hold on for the finish. Final results there was 50, managed to make a break on the rest. Mark Williamson in his Porsche, still having quite a good weekend there. Noski managing to hold out Jim Richards at the end there, who came in fourth, and Max Warwick there in his 911 GT3 running up top five.
Going on, do you want to go on to Formula Holden now? Craig? You hearing this? Well, going on, moving on to Formula Holden now. Really speaking, Formula Holden's quite a not really suited to this track, to be honest. Similar sort of situation with Adelaide. We had a lot of crashing, red flags in practice was quite the order of the day. Really speaking, the circuit's far too bumpy in places for this type style of car, the flat bottom and such hard suspension. And these guys had a real meal of it there and took its toll, the circuit, mechanically on these cars. Race one was won by Simon Wills and the Brana Racing Reynard, followed by Tim Lay, Christian Murchison, Matthew Halliday and local boy Dale Breed coming in fifth. Race two today, real action-packed event that was. Simon Wills had an incident at lap one with Tim Lay. He pitted under the safety car because Peter Hill actually had a crash on the first lap, brought out the safety car. Simon had the rear cover off the car. Mechanics had a look at it and they sent him back out and rejoined the rear of the field. Then he started to make a march up the field, but unfortunately he was stopped later in the event. Halliday and Murchison having a great fight there. Both of their cars smoking, and Halliday is actually black flagged for that. It seems to be that the motors are taking a serious strain there with all the bumps and what have you. Final results there was Chris Staff, followed by Christian Murchison, and Dale Breed coming a good result there, local racer in third place.
Yeah, it was a pretty impressive run by the two Canberrans, as I mentioned earlier, with also Terry Clerahan making his debut in Formula Holden.
Yeah, it's really that race is, you know, if you survive, you're basically going to, you know, be in with a shout for a good result. Getting a message from Mark Knox, just a word there on Mark Knox there, still retaining the series lead in GCD Nations Cup from Jim Richards, an update there on the point situation we just had verified for us. Collins also going over to the pits to try and chase up a few interviews, so he's heading off now.
Mm-hmm.
From that, do you want me to continue with the Century Batteries GT production results?
Yes, and
yep.
I mentioned that outright there was Mark King, and we heard from Mark King a little bit earlier. And Dave, no, Class B, C and D, certainly, and the V8 class, all very popular.
Class C, Saturday, we had Craig Dontis, the V8 SS Commodore, a particular type of car that we saw flip over. I'm trying to remember who on earth it was that flipped his car this yesterday afternoon. That actually happened right in front of us. And quite spectacular, and we've had Colin and myself both trying to avoid the car as it came towards the wall and try and fire the camera for photos at the same time. But certainly, that's a hotly contested class. Class D, Saturday's race, Darrell King in a XR6 Falcon AU. And the smaller Class E, Cosby Calisetis and the Proton Satria, are there a good result winning that class. Today's racing, Mark King again taking out the honours in the Lancer Evo 5. I think probably quite indicative there with the four-wheel drive aspect of the Lancers. I mean, the top, what have we got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, top six cars there were either Lancers or Subaru WRXs, and I think that sort of speaks to the nature of the circuit, twisty, turning, and quite slippery and bumpy in places. The Mazda RX-7s, which we've become accustomed to seeing at the front of the field, there's 7th and 8th, Barry Morcombe and Peter Floyd there. I'm not quite sure what happened to Rick Shaw there with that one. He's DNF down on lap 6, so not a good race for him. But basically, if he had a four-wheel drive, he seemed to be in with a pound seat for this lot.
Mm.
So Mark King taking out race 2 there and overall, obviously. Class B, scroll down, is David Wood in a Honda Integra. Class C is Warren Millett in a, again, Commodore SS V8. Obviously, seems to be he's narrowly ahead of Craig Dontis, so again, a good result from Dontis as well, second place there. And Class C, Darrell Keane. Oh, hang on, no, we've lost that. Class C, Rob Chadwick, sorry, in a Magna V6 Sports. And Class E, if I can read the tiny writing, is Cosby Calisetis, but looking out in the Proton. So an excellent result from him overall there this weekend.
Yeah, and a great variety of cars which we saw on the track, which made for, once again, some interesting racing. It was very exciting to see the Formula Holdens, which weren't suited to the track at all, actually had probably the most passing and definitely had the best pass for second and then eventually the lead in that second race by Chris Staff.
Yeah, it's with your Formula Hogan, obviously, a lot of downforce. If you can keep the thing on the circuit, obviously you can use that through a corner and use, you know, superior mechanical grip through the corner. It was just a case of, you know, the bouncing, bumpiness of the circuit in certain places. I don't know what can be done about that, to be honest. It's, you know, so it comes under road funding. It is a street circuit, and that's, you know, not something we can sort of move in and say as a racetrack, well, hey, you want the whole thing resurfaced. It was taking its toll on the machinery. I mean, things were bouncing around. They had Simon Willis's engine cover off, to say, on lap one of the second race, just, you know, basically pushing all the floodlights back on in a hope that, you know, things that, you know, it was just something as simple as that, and they were, that had vibrated its way loose, and, you know, a torrid time for these guys in, you know, such a stiff suspension. I wouldn't like to have been having my bottom about, you know, sort of 10 millimetres above the track surface with all those bumps going over it.
Yeah, that's right. But for yourself, I know regular listeners would remember that you are from Adelaide. How do you compare this race up against the Adelaide circuit, which, of course, has had 13 years now to develop?
Well, I've just basically been having a bit of think about that, Craig. To be honest, it's not really fair to compare it to Adelaide, given the volume of experience and the wealth of knowledge that that we have with built up over the Formula One years. I mean, basically, we had, what, 11 years of Formula One to draw on. You know, I was a lot younger in those days as well, in the early days, and I don't really remember too much about it, but I'm sure we made our fair share of, you know, guesswork to start with as well. And, you know, I don't know whether anyone was brought over here or what as regards advising or assisting with the track sort of facilities and what have you, but, you know, I think, to be honest, Canberra's done a good job given, you know, the narrowness of the circuit and the confines you've got here. I mean, we've got basically a fair whack of the Adelaide 500 circuit, and the old Formula One circuit is held on Victoria Park Racecourse, which is a horse racing facility. And basically, if you want to make the track certain width, you just build the track a certain width. We laid a road down there for pit lane. You know, you're not really interfering with median strips and you know, government offices and the like, because, yeah, it's, you just build what you want, basically.
Yeah.
To me, the feeling of the circuit, I stood on pit wall this afternoon. The cars coming, you know, whizzing up the start finish straight, that honestly felt faster to me than the Adelaide straight, where the pit area is. So I think in places it's, you know, it is a lot quicker, but it's also a lot tighter. And walking along the grid, my job at Adelaide is the chief grid marshal, and, you know, the grid there, you can swing a cat there. Here it was really, really, really tight between the two walls, and not that I've been there, really had what I feel could probably be, you know, akin to Monaco. And the buzz of the weekend has been, hey, this is the Monaco of the South. It's really, really tight. But, you know, the drivers, in fairness, I think were a lot more sensible today. Yesterday afternoon's race was punctuated severely by safety car incidents. And I'm pretty sure everyone probably went to bed tonight thinking, well, hey, we've got to realise that there's some confines on this circuit that need to be, you know, to be recognised and dropped accordingly. And I think, you know, with the exception perhaps of the Formula Holden today, that sort of was borne out by the lack of safety car in the V8 ranks particularly.
Yeah, it was a very exciting weekend, and we look forward to it all returning in 12 months' time, because it has been a fantastic weekend. And as Colin mentioned before, the largest sporting event in the ACT over 3 days.
You still there? Hello.
Colin Ford rejoining us on the line now. Colin.
Yeah, hi Craig.
And Colin Ford, yes, as we were saying, a very big event which was punctuated with quite a number of stoppages in the early races. But once the drivers got their heads screwed on, we didn't see the full force yellows.
Yes, there was an event where there was lots of stops for safety cars due to incidents, accidents, cars, you know, sort of running off track and hitting the wall, and some of them hitting quite heavily. And it was a situation where, that, given the number of problems that occurred, it was actually that the safety car actually played into the hands of a number of the different drivers. As well, the pit stop strategies were another component that played heavily on the events before the weekend. As it is over here in the pit lane, time, the crews, naturally enough, they're all busily packing the cars away, looking at the damage that's being done, and getting all their various pit gear and equipment tucked away
back in the transporters. For some of them, of course, it's a fairly long haul. For example, those teams that come from Queensland, they've got a long haul back to the slightly sunny and warmer climes than what we've got down here in Canberra. And of course, a number of those teams here down here are feeling the chill quite dramatically, naturally enough. A few of them were making comments about the fact that where they put insulation into the cars previously to keep the heat out from the exhaust systems, for this race they actually decided to strip it out so that they could actually get some warmth into the driver. So quite a different situation that was seen in the past. The other thing that was causing a bit of a problem was, Pierre may have noticed in the television coverage, was that each pit stop where the cars came in, one of the first things that the man who would stop the car, stand at the front and sort of stop the car when it came in, would do, was actually go down to the front air intake of the car, the scoop down in the front splitter and spoiler, and scoop out the leaves, because naturally enough, Canberra being one of these lovely tree cities, all the trees around here, a lot of trees that drop their leaves during the year, and these, of course, were being swept up into the cooling intakes on the cars, and so that was one of the things they were doing every time, whenever a car came in, they would actually lean in, scoop those out, and we'd see ourselves with a situation where they're trying to keep the cars cool and keep them under control. Now we'll just see if we can grab hold of one of the drivers here.
Whilst you're doing that, I'll recap the ACTAB results, of course. ACTAB payout here for number 6, Craig Lowndes, the win, paid $9.60 and $4.30. For Mark Scaife, $2.30. For Glenn Seaton, $5.30. The Quinella paying $35.40 for the result of 6 and 1. So recap, 6, 1 and 3, the result, and 9.60 for 30, for 1 Mark Scaife for 2.30, and for 3 Glenn Seaton 5.30. Interesting there, that's 3 paying 3rd place, but I would have thought it would have been his teammate. So that is the official dividends through, so we'll run with that 6, 1 and 3 here, and the Quinella 6 and 1 paying $35.40. Go on.
Craig, we have that sound problem where I can barely hear you again.
All right then, we will go back to Colin Ford in just a few moments, and well, for the moment, we might just have a look. Last weekend, Juan Montoya finally broke the drought for Toyota and picked up a great victory in the CARD FedEx Championship with a win at the Milwaukee Mile, over 100 years of racing at Milwaukee. And a first ever win for CART.
In the Cottrell family.
And a first ever win for CART, which I'd like you to hear now.
Ryan's getting another set of congratulations from his father, Juan. Your first victory of the year, the 6 different winners. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm really happy to be able to win here. You know, we led so many laps. And it was just a shame we couldn't win before. I'm just so glad to give, you know, Toyota's first win, and I can tell it won't be the last.
How does it feel to give him that win? You know, you're glad, but, you know, it's been so close all season.
Of course, for Toyota, they were extremely happy with that result, as their vice president for motorsport was able to relay.
Sunger and Jim Austin, Toyota Motorsports, first of all, congratulations. Taking a long, long time.
Well, this team is just absolutely fabulous. TRD, engine preparation, the Ganassi team won. I mean, everything came together. Jim said we knocked at the door several times this year and had some bad luck, but the sun came out today and it shined on Toyota.
Jim, they say things get sweeter when you wait for them. Did that help you today?
Well, I don't know if it got any sweeter. It's been a long time. You know, we've been there hoping that this day was going to come, and obviously it really feels good to have it finally get to us. So we got, 14 more left, so we're looking for 14 more.
Gentlemen, congratulations. There's only two types of engine manufacturers, those that have and those that will. You've now joined that former group. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right.
They give them away to charity, say.
Yeah.
And well, joining us on Inside Motorsport now is Wade Auger. And Wade, rain affecting this weekend quite badly.
Yeah. The weather sucks, Craig.
Well, what do you expect in the middle of winter?
Newcastle, yeah, good point. Newcastle just got rained out the second night of Stocksville and the EMCA East Coast Classic, unfortunately. So at this stage, they're scheduling for tomorrow at 1 p.m, but the weather forecast is looking pretty dodgy then as well. We did get Parramatta in last night, the Valvoline Winter Nationals for leader cars, and it was won by, I've never heard of this guy before, but my goodness, he's fast. He's a Moree leader car driver by the name of Rusty Bell, and he just absolutely flew around PCR last night and spanked a 45-car field to win the $1,000 to win Winter Nationals. Second across the line was Reg Haynes, followed by his son Brett Haynes. Pretty well a good race, not too much efficient to speak of. V8 Dirt Modified Main was won by Dave Bryan, who's now purchased the ex-Greg Smith Batmobile. Fend Defenders, Shane Howell, won the CGREC 500. And, that was pretty well the way they ran.
And, well, the winner there, Rusty Bell, sounds like he's got a good name for IRL.
Yeah, yeah, he'd fit in pretty well, wouldn't he? he's pretty fast. I was just following home the number 7 AMCA of Christy McLean from Queensland, from Victoria, as a matter of fact. She's only 17 years of age, but a good young racer, and she's got a lot of potential, I think, not only as a lady racer, but also as a potential motorsports personality as a general rule. Women are taking more and more of a foothold. You only have to look at say, Indianapolis. Young Sarah Fisher, she actually raced at the track I promoted in America in 96. She's a lovely girl, very quietly spoken, just a good Midwestern American girl who also likes to sound the gas.
Yeah, and starting out of the inside of row 13 today, so not a good qualifying run for her at Texas.
Hey, last night at Bristol, did you hear about the results from there?
I will recap them again for people who are joining us as
they're
leaving.
Yeah, good of Brooke.
Well, 18th position for Brooke Tatnall, although I might be talking about Friday night and you're going to tell me it's Saturday night.
He finished 9th last night, I believe. Came from position 20 to finish 9th. Sammy Swindell won the event. Got $20,000 for his trouble, but was fined $10,000 for accosting an official, apparently, after a heat race.
That does not sound like Sam Swindell.
No. Yeah, not much. $20,000 to win it, 50,000 people showed up.
Yeah,
so
and
it's incredible.
It is incredible, and what's been incredible so far is the way that the promoters of the Super Speedways have gone back and said, oh, we better get some of this Saturday night stuff happening as well. And three speedways, the Bristol one, the Charlotte, or the Lowe's Dirt Track, as they're calling it, in Texas and, Texas and Las Vegas, all putting in dirt tracks, and they are fantastic facilities.
Oh, yeah, well, they're spending money on it, aren't they? I mean, when you own a NASCAR facility, you're not exactly short of chips, are you? So, they're putting in the big bucks, and as well they might do. I've been watching a bit of the TNN. Have you been watching any of the TNN coverage that's been coming from America?
I've been lucky enough to get a videotape sent to me, and I've loved it.
Did you see the Texas race where they used Dirt Track Cowboys, Adam Brand's song as the theme song? Well, I understand that they're negotiating with the publishing company at the moment to use the song for the rest of the season, so that'll be a really big shot in the arm. Who won Canberra today, Craig? I haven't heard.
You haven't heard that, Stephen Richards took out the overall victory of the race three winner was Craig Lowndes. So, in fact, Neil Crompton and I think it was Mark, Neil Crompton and Mark Scaife picking up the points.
Hopefully the next time Mark Scaife designs a racetrack, Craig, you can design one that's wide enough to race on.
Hey, you got to remember, I've got to get credentials for this next year.
Looked pretty narrow to me, mate.
It was, but in all honesty, there was some fantastic race. Formula Holden, which were having the toughest time on the track, had the probably the best passing moves and probably the on-track passing moves for the lead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hold on. Before we go off on a tangent here, let's get back to Speedway. John Evans is listening to the show, and I know he loves to hear about Speedway whenever he gets the chance. But in seriousness, we spoke to John Hughes last week, and for the people who don't get the show regularly because they're visiting Canberra for this Queen's Birthday long weekend, great news for Speedway fans as we will see four events live on C7, and hopefully we won't get the rain that we saw at the Cat.
$50,000. Yeah. that is big news, and especially for New South Wales Sprint Car Racing too, because the series will now kick off at Newcastle Speedway on the 7th of November and then go to Parramatta on the 14th of November for the second round. So there's some exciting stuff happening for World Series, and it's finally starting to get some good TV exposure, which is an excellent thing in itself. We've also just confirmed that American Super Sedan driver to come down to Newcastle and Parramatta, Craig. He's from Mississippi. His name is Scott Slay. And he's got a very, very deep accent. He's won 6 mains so far this season and 40 mains over the last 2 or 3 seasons. He's got a lot of talent. He'll come down on Boxing Day and run a 7-race schedule between Newcastle and Parramatta. And I'm looking forward to bringing him down. He's going to be quite an exciting young racer.
Mm. And for Speedway fans, of course, we talk about television and your Fox Sports show, World of Speedway, continuing on through the winter and still not lacking in any content.
Well, it's starting to get a little bit thin on the ground now, though this weekend will give us plenty of racing back because we'll be showing the 5,000 with Formula 500 winner nationals from Murray Bridge last night and also Newcastle. But what would be great is that this is also going to be hearing a lot about drivers.
Fortunately, you're starting to break up there a fair bit on the trade. It sounds like, but you have got Formula Fords, which have Formula Fords, GP Midgets, and all the other divisions right there on World of Speedway, which has been a great avenue that hasn't been there before.
It's the divisions
that would have TV. Wait, I'll have to leave you there. That phone breaking up a little bit too much to keep broadcasting. Sorry about that. All right, Wade Auger joining us there on the line, as you can hear, driving back from Newcastle. So if you were thinking, damn, I'm not going to make the Speedway tonight, it was rained out. Not so those conditions right across Canberra. It might have been cold this weekend, Colin, but it certainly wasn't raining, which was one of our major fears, and I guess one of the bigger fears, again, was snowing. Colin, Knight. Quite ready for us there.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and kicks, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop, and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find in the old Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Twindian, sponsors of Triple S.
There are lots of adults who can't read and write as well as they'd like to, but it's never too late to learn, and it's easier than you'd think. Phone 1300 655506 for help with reading and writing. 1300 655506. The Reading Writing Hotline. Phone them up.
If you missed the latest race results, take advantage of ACTAB InfoLock.
You'll need to call 6245 1185. For race meetings and results summaries, call 6245 1186. ACTAB's racing information lines. Call 6245 1185 and 6245 1186. ACTAB and Triple S, making betting easier.
You took your car to someone else. The job left you aghast. Now's the time to make the change. Check out the team at Everlast.
That's right, Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating. Easy to find in Kendall Street, Fishwick. The Everlast Service Centre trades from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
The Everlast Automotive Services, sponsors of Triple X.
If you missed the latest race results, take advantage of ACTAB InfoLock.
You'll need to call 6245 1185. For race meetings and results summaries, call 6245 1186. ACTAB's racing information lines. Call 6245 1185 and 6245 1186. ACTAB and Triple S, making betting easier.
Triple S subscribes to the Community Broadcasting Codes of Practice. The Codes of Practice outline standards relating to program content such as news and current affairs, music and sponsorship announcements. If you'd like to find out more about the Codes of Practice, all you have to do is contact the Community Broadcasting website on www.cbwa.org.au, or you can phone Triple S on 6257-2488 and ask for a copy of the Codes of Practice to be posted out to you.
Inside Motorsport on this GMC 400 weekend, where we're hoping very shortly to cross to Cameron McConville, but just to recap the race results, Stephen Richards, with a very, good display of driving, has got himself the victory overall after Craig Lowndes won the 50-lap feature race. Colin Ford is at the circuit and he's on the
And once again, those lines
not doing us the best of favours here, but Convoy's rejoining us at the GMC 400, hopefully getting a hold of Cameron the Convoy.
Yes, Cameron's just actually just left us, would you believe? He's jumped in his Audi and disappearing off into the sunset. Our story, we waited a little bit long and he disappeared from us. But, yes, the thing is, it's actually interesting to see the number of drivers around this weekend who are wearing RPM race gear in terms of their personal choice of equipment. And this weekend, Revolution Race Gear, and actually up until the 30th of June, Revolution Race Gear, yeah, all their stores around Australia have a pre-GST sale where they've got savings on the RPM race gear, their Momo wheels, Recaro seats, and all the rest of their good gear. And it's actually, as I say, pointing probably about, I'd say, 90% or more of the grid wear RPM race gear.
If you missed the latest race results, take advantage of ACTAB info line.
You'll need to call 6245 1185. For race meetings and result summaries, call 6245 1186. ACTAB's racing information lines. Call 6245 1185 and 6245 1186. ACTAB and Triple S, making betting easier.
Yes, and one man who, found the track to his liking is Jim Richards. Congratulations, Jim. A great result in the Nations Cup and a great result for the family overall.
It certainly was. We had our share of victory and a couple of placings, and of course Steve won the GMC 500 or whatever it was called, or 400.
400. Gee, when you're not racing them, you don't keep the finger on the pulse.
Oh, well, you know, you've got other things to do, haven't you? I mean, you can't keep fingers on two pulses at once. You know? Only got one finger.
You have had a great run. The Nations Cup, though, has been a tremendous addition to the production car racing here in Australia.
I think it has, yes. It's opened it up to a lot more of the, you could say, the prestigious, fancy supercars, you might say. And I think that's what I think people want to see, some racing between different kinds of high-powered cars. You have it in V8s, except it's only Holden and Ford. But in Nations Cup, we have it with, you know, Lamborghini, Ferrari, Lotus, Porsche, you know, BMW, all the makes.
And the thing with it is you get to see and hear so many different sounds as well, because each power plant has a completely different note.
No, exactly. Well, I think that's what's good about it is we have, I think for the next round at Queensland Raceway, we'll have four Ferraris. It'll be a Lamborghini. I think there's 10 to 12 Porsches. There's the Hondas, BMWs, Mustangs. There'll be four or five Vipers. I mean, it's just really, really going to be good.
These cars, how much work goes into the preparation of them as compared to the standard showroom model, though?
Well, I mean, basically, the Porsche, for instance, is it's mechanical. They're standard, basically, what it comes from the factory with. So we're probably in the enviable position where we don't have to do a lot of mechanical preparation, apart from suspension and chassis tuning and the like. So from that respect, we're probably a little bit luckier than some. I mean, the Viper, for instance, can add extractors, cylinder heads, brakes, and all sorts to bring its performance level up to where it can compete equally with the Porsche and the Ferrari.
Well, they certainly they need the brakes just from standard, because they might be a quick car, but they don't stop.
No, they don't. The class that they're built for in America to race, and of course, allows freedom of brakes, so they don't need to put the big brakes on them as standard.
Now, the GMC 400 street circuit, how did you find it?
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, the track, okay, everyone will tell you it was a little bit narrow and it was a little bit bumpy in places, but that's, now we know that, and now we've found that out. For next year, I hope the officials and the people that run the meeting will do a little bit of resealing and just straighten a few little problems out that they had, and I think it'll be fantastic. I mean, it is narrow, it is hard to pass, but we've seen by the race results that it's good in the way that it gives other guys a chance to have a decent race.
And I guess the other thing we saw with the Formula Holdens, and speaking to the Formula Holden guys, that it was quite bumpy for them. In your type of car, the GTP type of car, did that roughness of the circuit really upset the car a lot?
No, not really. There were a couple of places on the track. But I don't think, being realistic, I don't think it's a track that the Formula Holden should even go to. I mean, it's a street circuit, which has naturally got bumps on it, and everyone knows that. So obviously a touring style of car will handle the bumps a lot better than an out-and-out single-seater, which is built around a, you know, like a Formula One style car.
And all in all, what was the feeling you were getting? Because being in a paddock like you were that was free to the public, did you have just masses of people coming in and greeting you each day?
Yes, we did, but we were sort of a little bit away from the V8 area, a little bit like the poor relations, you might say. So although we had a lot of people wandering through, the majority of them, I suppose, were in the V8 part of it, and from where we were to the V8 paddock was a fair old distance, so I mean, you had to sort of fairly well know where you were going to find us.
Have you had a chance to catch up with Stephen yet?
No, I haven't yet, no. No, we've been busy loading up, and we watched the race on television, and rang his phone, but he's obviously preoccupied at the moment.
Well, we congratulate you on some great racing today, and look forward to seeing you back here in 12 months' time. And
I'm looking forward to it too, Craig. It'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Jim Richards.
Bye.
Thanks very much for his time joining us there on the line. The winner of the GTP Nations Cup, Jim Richards. Now moving into the studio, a man who, well, the last street race he saw was Toronto.
That's right, Craig.
And you're not carrying any of that accent back with you. That's good to see.
That is very good to see. A lot of people over in Toronto and North America made the mistake that my accent was English. And to the Canadians, I just gave them back the equal insult and said, yeah, you sound American. And that hit them right between the eyes.
All right. The Molson Indy in kart races, traditionally on street circuits, aren't on the widest of circuits. How did you look at, say, the Toronto race, the Molson Indy, and coming back here to Canberra?
Yeah, the kart competitors seem to have no real problems in trying to get around people. I guess the cars are not that big, and it comes back to your comments earlier about the Formula Holdens actually put on some ding-dong battles and were able to pass. And I think some of the comments about the track being narrow and there being no passing may be a little harsh, because I think plenty of fans in the grandstand had plenty to cheer about. Brad Jones in particular gave a great deal of entertainment value to the fans.
Now, I know you were well positioned for the Craig Baird, John Bowe incident. For those of you who have seen that coming together, now, from a perspective, someone, you're not allegiance to either of those two cars, except you like the brand they drive.
Well, that's right. Yeah, both Ford, so I think I can offer a balanced opinion there. Bowe was tapping him all the way around that big, long sweeper that leads into the pit straight. And it was reported that Baird, he was considering pitting. I don't know if that was before or after JB started the tap, tap, tap. Would have been good strategy for any of the drivers when you're under intense pressure and you need to make a pit stop, make that detour, and then get back out onto the track for a clear track and put in some neat laps instead of being under such pressure. And of course, yeah, it all ended in grief. We noted at the end of each race, a lady came out to that wall to wave the chequered flag, and we all commented that she was a very brave young lady to come out to that point. She was protected by the concrete, but it was they should have painted a big target on that wall, because a number of times during the weekend, people were headed straight for it. Other cars were elbowing them closer to it, and it provided some pretty exciting racing there at times.
Now, this event really did capture the city's attention, and as we heard, Colin was relaying back to us that 100,000 spectators over the 3 days, a fantastic result. Toronto being a big city, did the Toronto Indy, the Molson Indy, capture the attention of the city like this?
Oh, absolutely. The Toronto race was hidden a little bit. It wasn't right in the centre of the office buildings or anything like that. It was more on a part of the lakefront that was more a recreational area. So it didn't have the disruption, I guess, and therefore doesn't have the political risk. We know that Canberra's a city full of people who are very easy to whinge and complain, and I think that it was 109,000 people this weekend that said that the political risk of putting this race on was justified. And I mean, Canberra is perfectly located for racing, halfway between Sydney and Melbourne. We noted many fans in the stands who were wearing their apparel from Adelaide, Northern Territory. They travelled a long way to get here, and they spent an awful lot of money in this town.
It was good indeed. And I know we talked about traffic. I was very surprised, but after I finished with press conferences and everything last night, that there was really quite easy access out of the track. And you said you parked at your office area in Barton there and had the same experience?
That's right. The longest delay was the walk back to the office. That's the advantage of a street circuit again, is you've got a network of 100 roads to feed everyone out, not just the one rural highway that runs past the track. So I think it's worked pretty well.
All right. Now, overall, I know you had an opportunity to look and talk to a lot of the people in the stands and that sort of thing. What was their reactions?
I think it offered a fantastic weekend. We had all elements there, from Pink Pigs and girls from the 60s. There was plenty of action on the track. Okay, not a lot of clean passing, but we saw a number of wrecks. We saw one driver flipping the bird at Larry Perkins for a little move that stuck him into the fence. Most of the fans enjoyed it immensely, so I think it offers great entertainment value. And a lot of the drivers in the press conferences kept referring back to that they are in the entertainment business. I don't think any of them particularly liked the reverse grid format, but they know they're in the entertainment business. And I think that's also reflected in the number of autographs that people signed. I think a big credit has to be given to the Kmart team. Every time I went past their pit, or Kmart at Tuggeranong, I hear they're at Belconnen as well, one or both of them were there signing hundreds of autographs. And I think it's really good to see. That's how you really get the whole city behind it, is to be accessible to the fans. So to all the drivers, well done.
Yes, we'll recap now the ACTAB payouts for this event. With the results 6-1 and 3, 6 Craig Lowndes, 1 Mark Skate, and 3 Glenn Seaton. Obviously, I was trying to work out how they came up with that, but obviously the finishing positions from race 3.
Yes, that's right.
All right, that paid, in fact, $9.60 for the win, so not too many people backing Craig Lowndes there. $9.60 for the win, $4.30 for the place, for Mark Skate, $2.30, and for Glenn Seaton, it was $5.30 for the place. The Quinellas of 6-1 was $35.40. Now, you would think for the Holden one too, you would be getting better. It would have been shorter odds, I should say, than $35.40. That's a great return on a $1 punt.
Yes,
not that I am saying punting's a good thing.
How can you say that, Craig? This is Triple SFM, at the home of all sports, but in particular racing. You should be endorsing the good product.
No, we can't endorse gambling.
Oh, okay.
It's like we can't endorse noisy motorsport.
Oh, okay. Yes, Craig.
All right.
Yes, that dividend was quite remarkable, really. And I think maybe one part of it is some of the formats did confuse people. I know in the stands people were saying, who's winning? They really need to think about how they deliver a lot of information to the fans, particularly when you do have the pit stops and reverse grid, just to mix things up. A lot of the fans really need to really want to know what's going on. They want to have their finger on the pulse, and in this age of internet and instant communication, people do expect to be fully informed, up to date at all times.
All right. For everyone who is joining us here, this is Inside Motorsport, Triple SFM. We're looking forward to, in this hour, getting over to Silverstone. They're racing the British British Touring Car Championships on the Silverstone Indy Circuit, and we'll be catching up with Karen Heron from the broadcast company. For those of you who caught the first hour, you would have heard our good friend Greg Strange telling us about the Acropolis Rally, where Colin McRae and Carl Sainz are in the lead after the first stage on the final day, and are looking to put in a Ford 1-2, and that's just music to your ears, isn't it?
Well, that's right, Craig. You know I bleed Ford blue blood.
All right, and just also for people joining us now, we might recap. New rules introduced to the racing has seen some very interesting outcomes. One of the rules is that they must wear a full triple layer overalls, which in the heat of the Acropolis Rally is one of the hottest races in the championship. It was the navigator of Reed passing out of heat exhaustion in the car during one of the stages on the first day, thus prompting a rule change that, all right, you can wear single layer overalls at your own risk.
Yeah, I think that the rule, while well-founded for safety, in practicality, has been proven not to be that practical. And one thing in particular, the navigators have to turn hundreds of pages in their pace notes, and with gloves you'd lose that feel and be very easy to turn 1, 2, 3, 5 pages, and that could lead to all sorts of problems as well. It really is a compromise. How much safety do you want to compromise there?
Yeah, all right. Now, being an American correspondent for years, we'll go to you with, of course, the results from the from the, well, not the results, but the qualifying order for the NASCAR racing at Michigan Speedway.
Well, Craig, thanks for just dumping this on me. I haven't even had a chance to look at it. Let me see it here. It looks like the Sunday's race, the qualifying positions, Bobby Labonte from Ricky Rudd. Good to see Ricky Rudd getting to the front. He really has a lot of potential there in the Robert Yates, the 28 car, I think it is. He's got all of the hardware beneath him. He really needs to come up with the goods to justify his position there. Jeff Gordon qualifying third. Jeff's had a pretty up and down year, and he really needs to start improving things as well. And I note that during the week he signed, I think it was a 5-year deal with DuPont to continue that very famous sponsorship, the Rainbow Warriors and all that type of thing. And looks like Jeff really is in the mode now of starting to look after his retirement. He's now a part owner of that car, and he directly benefits in a lot of the commercial decisions as well. Joe Nemechek, Ruffy Wallace, then Joe Nemechek, Dale Earnhardt Jr. from Jeff Burton, Bill Elliott. Bill's also having a fantastic year this year, with a little bit of input from people who really should be concentrating on the Dodge program. Followed then by Dale Earnhardt and John Andretti. And I don't know if Craig has covered this yet, but some history was made in the US in drag racing, with John Force taking a history-making 86 victory, rewriting the record books, and also great to see another Ford product there in the Mustang in his funny car. And now, I think we have Colin Ford on the line. No, not yet.
No. That's all right. Yeah, we'll be crossing Colin Ford in a short while. We're also trying to catch up with our good friends over there at the broadcast company, of course, going to Silverstone Live with Karen Sheeran. And we're also still trying to get a hold of all the news up there at Willowbank Raceway, which, of course, does see the running of the Winter Nationals, which we're, for some reason, not having our best of luck of getting through. But I did hear earlier in the piece that Peter Kapiras was setting some great times as top qualifier over there in the top door slams, which is fantastic effort to get over Victor Bray on his home track. So we are looking forward to getting up north there in the time we have remaining here on Inside Motorsport. Don't forget the Revolution Race Gear pre-GST sale coming up this weekend.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and kicks, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find in the old Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Gwendia. Sponsors of Triple S.
You took your car to someone else. The job left you aghast. Now's the time to make the change. Check out the team at Everlast.
That's right. Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating. Easy to find in Kembla Street, Fishwick. The Everlast Service Centre is paid from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
See Everlast Automotive Services. Sponsors of Triple S.
There's an exciting new bonus for early renewing members of the ACT Racing Club. Renew your membership by August 1 and receive 2 member stand passes to the Qantas Canberra Cup on October 8. So get in early, renew your membership to the ACT Racing Club and receive your bonus. Sponsors of Triple S.
And we finally managed to catch up with her, Karen Sheeran, joining us there from the Indy track at Silverstone for today's round of the British Touring Car Championship. Good evening, good morning, Karen.
Well, good morning and good evening to you. How are you doing?
Not too bad. We were speaking to Greg Strange earlier, who's living it up on the patios there of Greece, enjoying all the racing at the Acropolis Rally. And, well, I guess you've got the hard slog today, Silverstone and the BTCC.
It's a hard life for some people, isn't it, travelling around the world and enjoying the sunshine. But luckily it is sunny here at Silverstone, unlike earlier on in the year for the Grand Prix. We've been very lucky with the weather so far. It looks like it's going to hold. I don't think there's going to be a drop of rain here, and I think we're going to have a great day.
Well, I might let you know that we're enjoying the Queen's birthday long weekend here, and I think you don't have a bank holiday for the first time in the championship for a while.
It's not actually a bank holiday here. We've had so many bank holidays, and but now it isn't. So we're quite revelling in the fact that that we don't have to work on Monday. I can tell you, I'm actually in the queue to get in at the moment. I've got marshals and security guards all around me, which is quite amusing, before I make my way down to the paddock.
But for qualifying yesterday, how has that all resulted?
Well, it's Rickard Rydell who's on pole for both races. A great weekend for him. He had a disastrous time at Alton Park. He didn't finish either race. But that does mean that he's got no weight penalties this time. So that's worked to his advantage. He's got a double pole, and he'll be extremely happy. In the sprint race, it's James Thompson who'll be alongside him on the grid, and Anthony Reid in third. Now, keep an eye on Anthony Reid, because he's actually only 7 points behind championship leader Alain Menu in the driver's standings. He's third on the grid for the sprint. He's second on the grid for the feature. I think it's very unlikely that he won't score some good points, get a podium finish, and he may well overtake Alain Menu in the championship lead, which would make it, make for great racing and more interest in the series.
Mm. A lot of people have been asking how things are going towards the 2001 championship. What's the word out there at the moment?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. You're breaking up a bit.
The big changes ahead for the 2001 season. Has there been much talk about new manufacturers coming in?
There's an awful lot of talk, an awful lot of rumour, but there's no actual facts at the moment. We don't have any true facts about what the new regulations will be. There has been mention of several new teams that may join in, Peugeot being one, Volkswagen being another one. There's still talk about Mercedes, BMW coming back in, Audi. They may come back in, they may not. At the moment, it's early days, and hopefully by the end of this season, we will actually know what will be happening next season, hopefully.
Yes, and also on the program with the BTCC is, of course, Formula Ford, and our own James Courtney from Australia also doing a remarkable job.
James Courtney has a complete stranglehold on that championship. Out of the 7 races they've had so far, he's won 5 of them, and he's not been far off in the 2 that he hasn't won. He's a superb young driver. People in his team actually say they think that he doesn't know himself quite how good he is. They think he's going to be better than the next Jenson Button. He's only 19, but they can see he's going to be in Formula 1 very, very soon indeed, if everything goes to plan. He's on pole again today, and with any luck, he'll be winning again. I mean, he's only got one rival, who's an independent guy called Mark Taylor. He's doing incredibly well, bless him. He won the races that James didn't win. He's his only real rival. He's the only person who can really catch him, and even then, he's still not quite so much on the pace as James.
And who else is supporting you this weekend?
Other support races, we've got the Ford Fiestas, we've got the Formula Renaults, we've got the Renault Clios, we've got the Lotuses, a whole bumper-packed range of racing to watch. It's not just the 2 touring car races that you get to see. It's a whole afternoon of really close racing. These support races, they've got massive grids, very fiery young competitors. You know, there's normally about 26 or 27 cars out there on the grid. So it's incredibly close racing. They're all in the same car as well, so there's really not much between them. There's only sort of points of a second between their lap times. So that's where the real racing is, to be honest.
And for us Aussies that only get to see Silverstone once a year, that is for the Grand Prix, how different is the Indy circuit up against the Grand Prix circuit?
Well, this is a very, very fast circuit, this one. There's a lot of tight corners and a lot of long straights. And this is one of the circuits where we'll actually see those weight penalties coming into play. There's some circuits where it really doesn't make much difference. For example, at Thruxton, once you get going, then the weight penalty doesn't really hold you down. But say, for example, at Knock Hill, that hill will really slow you down when you've got 40 kilos knocking around in the back. This is another one where we've really seen a difference. Alain Menu, he's 6th and 7th on the grid today. Because he's weighed down by these weight penalties, we've really seen that come into play with him this time. So I don't really think he'll be in the major points this weekend. You never know. There may be carnage at the first corner. There's no way of predicting. But the way it looks like it's going to be Anthony Reid and Rickard Rydell closing that gap on Alain Menu.
It's going to make for an exciting... Are we halfway through the season at this stage?
We will be. After the first race today, we'll be exactly halfway through the season. These are rounds 11 and 12, and we've got 24 rounds altogether. And don't forget, soon we've got those night races coming up. We've got Croft next, and the one after that is Snetterton, where we've got those 2 fabulous night races, which they tried for the first time last year. and what an enormous success those were. They were so exciting. And what we're doing again this year, the last two rounds, which are back here at Silverstone, they are going to be night races as well, which is, that's even going to be even more exciting, because by September, the nights will be drawing in, as we say over here in our sort of sad old English way. Nights will be drawing in. Most of those races will be held in complete darkness, and that's going to be really something to see, or not see, as the case may be.
They will have all the added lighting as they did at Croft last year, though, with the towers. It won't be headlight racing like Le Mans.
I don't think it will be, but the way they do it, they don't light the whole track. It's not all floodlit. They do have patches of darkness, which in fact makes it more difficult. I mean, as you know from driving at night yourself, if you drive from an area where it's well lit into darkness, that's when you really, really feel it. And if it's dark all the way around, your eyes get accustomed to it. But because of these, and they're extremely bright, these floodlights, because you're going from the light into the dark, it does take a while for your eyes to get adjusted. I think all the drivers will be munching on carrots by now.
All right then, Karen, thanks very much for joining us there from, of course, the Silverstone track, where they're racing on the Indy circuit this weekend, and the BTCC, perhaps Alain Menu getting the championship tied up somewhat, or tied back from him somewhat there. So, in recapping the GMC 400 today, I guess, Peter, the important thing, the number of people there, and at 102,000, a fantastic attendance.
It was actually 109, with 50,000 people there today. And I have the breakup of day by day just here with me. 37,000 people were at the track on Saturday, and would you believe even 22,000 on Friday? And I guess some of that was the public servants who went for extended little walks from office building to office building that just happened to be on the track. I reckon that's great. Get out there and enjoy it. And I have here the full list of results for race three, and we might just run down it and see if there's any notable things to comment there. First, of course, was Craig Lowndes, who really did it quite easy at the end, established quite a comfortable gap from Mark Scaife. Mark Scaife, of course, was the series leader, and he has sort of built on that lead somewhat. And third place was Glenn Seaton. Very kindly, Stephen Richards allowed Seaton and Todd Kelly to slip through late in the race. Stephen Richards admitted that it was really a case that his tyres, he had pitted the tyres a little early in the race, and I think he was suffering a bit from that, and it was radioed to him that he had quite comfortably won the overall weekend on points. So it wasn't that essential after all. It wasn't something worth fighting to the death for and throwing the car into the fence. So Stephen Richards finished the third race in fifth position, but took enough points to win the weekend. Neil Crompton finished sixth, and he did very well out of the weekend, mainly due to strategy. A lot of the drivers were talking that it wasn't outright speed or having the fastest car that won you the weekend. It really came down to a bit of clever strategy, and of course, pitting early in the anticipation of accidents. And Craig Lowndes actually admitted that they had their strategies mixed up a little bit. They could have done better on the weekend if they had have anticipated the carnage and the safety cars on the first race. They too would have pitted a little earlier. And talking about Neil Crompton and pit strategy, he admitted that he noted in first race that the successful people out of that race had pitted on lap two, and he sat back and thought and asked himself, well, everyone's going to do the same because it benefited so many people. And then he thought, well, some people are going to hold back and go in on lap three. So he shot in at lap four, had a clear track for those two laps leading up to his pit stop, put in some great times. And then, of course, in the pit stop, he had a clear pit lane, so a very clean entry and exit there, making up some good time. And that made him up a few positions on the track. That's the old adage, of course, that it's not won on the track, it's lost in the pits. In seventh position was Larry Perkins, who had a bit of dip and barge there and a little bit of aggro from one of the drivers that he tapped into the wall. I think it was Steve Reed, who had a very miserable day there, parked on the grass down at that big Ford curve, wandering over for when Larry came past the next time and showed him the middle digit, which is a little bit rude, but I mean, that's racing. And Paul Radicic, he hounded the Seaton Racing Team Falcons for most of the day. Didn't quite seem to have the speed there. Seaton was able to put out a bit of a gap whenever he had a clear track. But of course, Radicic, you're always a bit nervous when he's on your bumper because he's a very fast and aggressive driver, always fun to watch. Tony Longhurst came in ninth, and running out the top 10 was Paul Morris.
All right. Well, we mentioned at the top of the show we were hoping to go to the Winter Nationals, but the problem is you ring up the office there at Willow Bank and they say the event's been postponed till October. Well, joining us on the line, the voice of drag racing in Canberra, Les Pinkhorst and Lesmo. Bad news for all the fans that were up there in Queensland enjoying some great qualifying runs. Eliminations being washed out.
Yes, that's right, Craig. I just had a call from a couple of guys from Canberra this morning, and they said that they were back from the motel room to say that that was drizzly and the event had been postponed until the long weekend in October. So I guess all gels well for them, but for the guys that have paid all their money and stuff like that, all the races, they didn't get a fair chance. However, Robin Judd in the top door slammer did manage a 6.17 pass, a 6.17, and Searle, the other top door slammer, ran a 6.23 or a 6.24, which is the fastest top door slammer paired passing in history.
Yeah, the Australians have really been showing the way in top door slammer and with fantastic results. Peter Kapiras, as we mentioned before, coming off a great run at the Nationals, he was looking forward to setting some great times as well.
Yes, he was, and I guess a lot of the guys were up there. They had a field of about 465 cars there, another record entry, but yeah, they were all looking for top qualifying spots and trying to run big numbers and things like that. Peter Kapiras was hoping to capitalise on, who incidentally ran Judd in the final for the top door slammer, but Judd lost because he crossed the centre line, and I guess Judd put the bit between his teeth and said, well, no one's going to take this away from me this time, and he's Gary Skelzy, crate mater as they call it, he put it into the studio baker and ran that fantastic time.
Yeah, and what about last weekend? Gary Skelzy, what a comeback, wrecking the car and going on to victory.
Fantastic effort for a guy that's established himself now in the US as one of the top drag racers, and wasn't it also good as your co-commentator there on the show there did mention that John Force did actually break Bob Glidden's long-standing record.
Yeah, it was a great result there, and well, also just looking at the drag racing, you've had Tolliver, you've had so many drivers getting up to the podium this year. It took Force that little bit longer.
It did. Everyone thought that he may have done it in the first couple of meetings during the year, but there were some meetings where he didn't even feature in the final, and that's right, it did take just that little bit longer to get on to make the milestone, but now that he's got it under his belt, no one can take it away from him.
Well, Lesmo, whilst we go back to Canberra now, and all the people here in Canberra have been enjoying the GNC 400 and seeing everything coming on from that, but of course one motorsport in Canberra that has waned because of governmental trouble has been the drag racing. How's that faring?
Well, Craig, it's at the stage now where the 6 months is up. We haven't heard anything. Jeff Devlin, oddly enough, has gone out west. He's not even anywhere near a caravan this weekend. He's just gone out for some relaxation. But we're at a point now where 6 months is up and we can start asking the judge through the barrister. We can start asking him questions like, why is it taking so long, and you know, what's the feel for your determination? So that's the stage where it's at the moment, and sadly, you're right, Canberra is suffering, we feel, from all the drag racing, and it's coming up to 18 months now.
Yeah, now of course the 6 months you mentioned being up is from when the judge reserved his decision on proceedings with the lease.
That's correct. It was around December the 12th, so as of June 12th, which has just gone by. June 12th tomorrow. Yeah. I guess on Tuesday and Wednesday we can sort of start asking questions. So we'd like to get some sort of idea of where to head, because as you can imagine, if this was a facility like Willow Bank, for example, or Calder Park, and everything ground to a halt for 18 months, it would be very, very difficult.
Well, it has been, in fact, for everyone involved with Canberra National Dragway.
It has. All the consortium members are... we're still very, very hopeful. You know, we haven't given up the ghost, but legal processes do have to go through certain channels and things like that, and unfortunately we're just on the receiving end of it, so it seems, at the moment.
All right then, Les, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you again, and we look forward to speaking to you again soon, hopefully about some drag racing action in Canberra.
Fantastic. Craig, all the best, and we'll see you next time.
All right, and the news there, just repeating that Willowbank being cancelled due to rain, and once again, Newcastle, being cancelled tonight because of rain, Willowbank cancelled because of rain, Canberra fine and clear.
Well, do you think the Winter Nationals, can they call it that if they run it in October?
Oh, good point.
They have to rename all of that. Some interesting announcements that were coming out or were made during this.
On top of that, the Revolutionary Race Gear announcement, their pre-GST sale going on right now till July.
That's right. I'll have to rip in and get a few things there before the tax status changes on that. A lot of the safety apparel is tax-free at the moment, and that will no longer be the case. Some announcements that were made during the GMC 400 relating to things that race fans would be interested in, and most of it relates to camping at Mount Panorama for the big race,
November FIO 1000.
That's it.
You've been out of the country a little bit too long.
I've forgotten all the names there. I nearly mentioned the other one. Anyway, if you are a registered camper there, if you're on their mailing list from previous years, you'll be getting a mail out that will outline a number of changes to their regulation of camping there. They will be tightening up in many respects. They will be marking out campsites so groups will no longer be able to pitch out a couple of hectares for their group, trying to make it sort of a bit more even and a level playing field for all the fans, and trying to avoid some of the mass gatherings that do tend to get a bit rowdy there. Also, trackside, they will be preventing people from roping off an area for their friends. Again, making it a bit more of a level playing field. It'll be first come, best dressed. You can get your spot next to the fence instead of having a lousy spot while there's two people in enough space to house 50. Also, some other changes include the Bathurst City Council will be building a special access road into McPhillamy Park. So those people who choose to camp in the more secure campground there, they won't have to drive past the sometimes rowdy crowds at some of the other camp areas. So all in all, they are going to clean up the camping experience at the top of the mountain, and I think that's some very good steps forward there.
One of the other important issues that was raised at the press conference was the talk about the outside pit facility being built. And the numbers that Tony Cochran was talking about, $15 million to build the outside pit lane, new grandstand, corporate and media facilities.
I think that that budget of $15 million also covered resurfacing the whole track and a few other bits and pieces, but it is quite a wish list, and I think it's actually quite exciting to think about what they may achieve there. Of course, it will come down to funding. Of course, all these things require a business case. And it's quite a competitive environment out there to either raise the money in the corporate world or through particular grants that the government may offer. Also, something that was being handed out at the GMC 400 were little information brochures on you could buy a strata title in a new motel that will be built at Bathurst. Again, sort of catering to the race fan, you'll have some almost guaranteed accommodation for whenever the big race is held there. And it was also hinted that all of the people involved at the Mount Panorama are working towards getting the V8s back there for the long weekend in October. It's far from a done deal yet, but it is something that's on their radar screen, and I think that would also be a positive move.
You took your car to someone else. The job left you aghast. Now's the time to make the change. Check out the team at Everlast.
That's right. Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating. Easy to find in Kembla Street, Fishwick. The Everlast Service Centre is paid from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
The Everlast Automotive Services. Sponsors with Triple X.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and discs, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop, and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find in the old Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Quindian, sponsors of Triple S.
There are lots of adults who can't read and write as well as they'd like to, but it's never too late to learn, and it's easier than you'd think. Phone 1300 655 06 for help with reading and writing, 1300 655 06, the Reading Writing Hotline. Phone them if you know somebody who'd like to improve their reading and writing. 1300 655 06, for the cost of a local call. Go on, do it.
If you have a four-wheel drive and need your engine reconditioned, your suspension or driveline repaired, or are looking for reconditioned gearboxes and kits, Waterloo can look after you. Waterloo specialises in wrecking four-wheel drives and light commercial vehicles, has a full mechanical workshop, and holds the largest range of four-wheel drive parts in the Canberra region. As a special offer, Waterloo is now offering a 10% discount to all Triple S listeners who mention this ad. Waterloo, easy to find in the old Coca-Cola factory, Gas Road, Queanbeyan, sponsors of Triple S.
Inside Motorsport. And one thing, next weekend we see the Formula One make their move over to North America again, getting set, as we heard, to eventually make their way down to the US GP at Indy. But Colin, Peter, from your time in the USA and North America particularly, you also got the opportunity to have a look at some of the problems with street circuits there, and of course the street race up there in Canada, normally a crash fest, and traditionally one that you don't want to start off the pole for, because the pole sitter, I don't think, has ever won the Canadian Formula One Grand Prix.
Not that I can remember, Craig. It's one of those races that it is a crash fest, and just add water to make it even worse. The big news in Canada at the moment is a transport strike in Montreal. Montreal traffic at the best of times is an absolute nightmare, and now the bus drivers and so forth are going to use a bit of their leverage when there's a big event on and try to squeeze a bit more money out and put the city into absolute chaos for that weekend. And that's something a lot of race fans will be absolutely dreading. And it's interesting to see the growth and excitement of Formula One in North America. Now, Canada, of course, are very keen on Formula One. The Villeneuve name, of course, goes back two generations. And they watch it with absolute passion and interest. And a lot of them are very disappointed this current year that that Villeneuve isn't doing better, but at least he's doing better than the previous year. That everyone is holding their breath, waiting for him to move to a more competitive team, or until the British American racing team actually get their act together and consistently up there fighting for the lead. Also, some news that we're following here in Canberra is the London to Sydney Marathon Rally, and that's one where Rick Bates is competing. And I don't have the exact details to hand, but I have on good authority that he is currently second, running just a few seconds back from the lead, and of course it's a very, very long way to go. And that's one event that will be coming through Canberra. Canberra will be hosting four stages of this event, and unfortunately, I don't have the dates in front of me. I think it's very early July. It will be coming through town on a Monday and a Tuesday. And there'll be four stages in all. And this really is quite an event. These people are travelling thousands and thousands of miles. And to have the final stage, the Green Hill stage here in Canberra, is really something quite special. We'll watch that with interest, and we'll keep all of the rally fans up to date with when they should get out to the stages, where they will be, and who to cheer for. And I'm sure they'll also be calling for a few volunteers to help man the stages.
Now, we did speak about volunteers, or you did particularly, a few weeks ago, and one thing you were quite happy about was what jobs the volunteers did get.
Yeah, I'm actually quite delighted that all the volunteers for this weekend's GMC 400 did seem to have quite rewarding jobs. There's nothing worse than dragging your mates along to a weekend at the track. You volunteer in good faith, and you end up watching a gatepost acting as security, and you don't see a single part of the event. I'm very pleased to announce that this weekend the volunteers were getting quite good jobs as flag marshals and roles such as that, and not only those who have had a lot of experience in motorsport, they were just keen, were able to organise the Friday off work. They received plenty of training, and bingo, there they were, right in the action. I guess some of the drivers, they're always very thankful for the work that's done, but I think they might have been questioning some of the safety car moves and some of the moves of the more senior officials even. In one instance, we saw the safety car sign actually pulled out and shown to a couple of cars, only for them to put it away. I guess that would really upset some of the drivers who back off, ready for the safety car to come out, only to find out that, oh no, it's all green. Losing a couple of seconds there by backing off, thinking that it was time for a rest.
All right, just to recap again, the race three dividends from ACTAB, race three dividends, 6-1 and 3, 6 pay 9.60 and 4.30, Craig Lowndes 6. Number 1, Mark Scaife paid 2.30 and number 3, Glenn Seaton paying 5.30 for the place in the Quinella. It was for Craig Lowndes and Mark Scaife, $35.40. And I'm just trying to see here, not being particularly well versed on the racing, I was just trying to see what the win pool was for that event. They were all for dollar bets, and gee, getting back You're getting back about $13.90 if you had to pick Craig Lowndes for a win in race number three.
That's a pretty healthy dividend there. That's pretty good. And it was interesting to see that the ACTAB actually had a booth set up on track. In many years, they've taken bets on the Bathurst 1000, but of course that was always at your local ACTAB. And yeah, it's always been fun. I've done it for a number of years, just put down three of your favourite four drivers, and it gives you a little bit more to root for as the race goes on. Unfortunately, never actually been successful and made a claim on that.
The last few years, betting on a Ford driver at Bathurst has been like getting Kevin Cogan in Indy 500.
Yeah, well, one thing about Ford fans, they're very loyal to the bitter end. And it was good to see that there are a few more of us being converted across to the bright side, I guess you'd say. Yes, I always cop a lot of criticism, but I'll always be true to the Ford heritage.
All right, this is Inside Motorsport. In a few moments, we're going to actually speak with Paul Ryan, who's heading off next weekend to the Le Mans 24-hour race. And, well, he's enjoyed this street race here, and he's going to see a different world over there at Le Mans as we get set for the race of 1,000 years.
You took your car to someone else. The job left you aghast. Now is the time to make the change. Check out the team at Everlast.
That's right, Everlast Automotive can offer you a complete package of vehicle services, from batteries and electrical to 24-hour towing, full mechanical repairs, air conditioning, radiator and cooling system repairs, paint and panel repairs, and even chrome and silver plating. Easy to find in Kendall Street, Fishwick. The Everlast Service Centre is paid from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday.
The Everlast Automotive Services, sponsors of Triple S.
So you think Sunday nights are dull, colourless and boring? Wrong. Inside Motorsport.
It's Wayne Percy from the Coca-Cola Racing Team.
Hi, this is Colin Don.
Hi, this is Morgan Shepherd.
Hi, I'm Neil Baker.
Gary Rush. It's Peter Brock from the whole Racing Team.
Strap yourself in every Sunday night from 6 when the Inside Motorsport crew take you for a spin through all the best racing on four wheels. Catch it here only on the Good Sports.
People who can't read and write as well as they'd like to are not on their own. It's easy to get help. Phone 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline. 1300 655 06. It's never too late to learn, and it's easier than you think. If you know someone who'd like to improve their reading and writing, phone 1300 655 06. Go on, do it.
Well, one man who is enjoying the streets of Canberra and will be enjoying the streets of Le Mans next weekend is Paul Ryan. Paul, John Bauer had a pretty controversial weekend, firstly.
Yeah, poor old JB. They certainly tested us this weekend, but certainly a good fight back today. He started from 31st in the first race in the 10.78 and set the fastest lap of the day, and the second race came from 25th on the grid to move up to 21st, and only really the tyres, move up to 11th, as he's actually telling me from the back seat of the car here. It's only with the tyres that are going off there towards the end of the race, because they were pitted really early to try to make up some track position. But unfortunately there at the finish bangs around, but certainly all in all, just a fantastic event, other than smoothing out the road a little bit in a couple of places and seeing if we can widen the circuit, but the actual layout and so forth is just, for a street track, was just put on just an amazing show and a great way to showcase the nation's capital.
Yeah, it was indeed, and of course, one good piece of news, John didn't have anything going for him as far as the steward's concerned, except for the one incident with Craig Baird where they actually cleared him on something.
Well, exactly, and it was one of those cases, and it was difficult to see on the television where Craig had actually gone off the throttle. He pulled into the pits because they had forgot to remove the tag that designated that he'd done his tyre stop. So he's propped in the middle of the corner and jumped off the throttle, and as we sort of presented to the race stewards the telemetry, at that point JB was off the throttle, but unfortunately Craig had jumped off it earlier when John was trying to take a run at him, and contact was made. So despite some rather disparaging remarks that the young Kiwi happened to make, the stewards exonerated JB, so which was certainly good to see for the team.
Because there was all that controversy on Saturday morning when you were put to the back of the grid for an air box or an air dam.
Yeah, no, it was, what it was an oil cooler bracket that the new Avesco technical commissioner has decreed that the way the rule is written, it's in his opinion that any device underneath the car may provide an aerodynamic advantage, then he can deem that can be illegal. Now, this was a small bracket that had bulkheads and so forth poking out into the airflow. Now, I'm not an aerodynamicist, but I know if you look at a McLaren Formula One car, they don't have bulkheads sticking up into the airflow. So how that can be deemed to provide an aerodynamic advantage, I'm not sure, but the Avesco bloke seemed to think that was the case, and unfortunately sort of his decision seems to count. So after a great qualifying effort, he ended up sort of on the back of the grid, which was a bit of a setback, but certainly today he fought back very well, and certainly looking forward to coming back to Canberra next year to...
One young driver who's really been doing a great job since leaving Formula Ford last year. He's qualified on front rows numerous times this season, is Tim Lay, and I believe he had a Canberra connection this weekend.
Well, yes, young Timmy had picked up a host of local sponsors, which was certainly great to see, but unfortunately for Tim, well, I think we're going to have to lock him away from sharp objects at the moment, because he went and dropped a valve in the car today when he was leaving by a country mile. He has just had the worst luck imaginable, and certainly it can't be too much longer before he breaks his duck and comes away with a win in Formula Hold. He's had seconds, thirds and fourths. In fact, at Eastern Creek, he set the lap record, was the fastest car in every practice, every qualifying and every race, but through, in some cases, no fault of his own, ended up with no points whatsoever, which was pretty disappointing, but I'm sure he'll be keen to try and bounce back at the next round.
Well, as we mentioned at the top, you leave Canberra virtually to hop on a plane to go to Le Mans, and if you thought you had problems with officials this weekend, you've got a weekend ahead of you.
Yes, it's certainly going to be interesting. I've got the book French for Dummies sort of packed in the suitcase, so I can give myself a bit of a refresher course on the weekend. It's going to be a spectacular event and going to be a bit of a preview to the Adelaide Le Mans series that's going to be held on December of this month this year. And it's certainly going to be interesting to see whether or not Australia's David Brabham is going to be able to become the third Australian to win the Le Mans 24 Hour. Of course, Jeff Brabham and Bern Schuppan already have victories, and David is one of the favourites this year. The barnstorming Audi team are probably looking like being the ones to catch, but it's a 24-hour race, so certainly anything could happen.
Yeah, and the BMWs last year managing to get a great win in the, the 23rd and a half hour, they came to the fore.
Yeah, it was interesting. I suppose the Sebring 12-hour February gives a pretty clear indication. It's only sort of half as long, but they reckon it's twice as tough as the 24-hour. Now, Audi dominated down there, and last year BMW did the same. They won Sebring and then came up and won Le Mans. So if that form guide is anything you go by, keep your eye on Audi. But as we said, it's going to be a very long race and very spectacular. And, of course, there's also another Australian team in Rowan Skye, the Perth businessman is running a two-car team in every round of the Le Mans series this year, and also running a car for 24 hours. So there's going to be plenty of Aussie content in France.
I know Ray Lintott managed to get himself out of the Vipers and into a Porsche last year. Any talk of Ray?
Yeah, no, Ray's been trying to pick up a drive again this year, but hasn't been successful at this stage. The the level of competition is becoming fiercer and fiercer and fiercer, so it makes it pretty tough to get a drive. But it's about the 78th running of the Le Mans 24-hour, and it's regarded, I suppose, as one of the three top races in the world alongside the Indy 500 and the Monaco Grand Prix. So it's certainly going to be a great pleasure to actually sort of be there and see what it's all about.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is already starting to get all the connections for the Race of 1,000 Years in Adelaide on New Year's Eve.
Well, Adelaide had such a huge Grand Prix party atmosphere at the Grand Prix, and of course a lot of the drivers like Jaco Leyton, Michele Abbareno, Stefan Johansson, of course David Brabham, all know that party atmosphere firsthand because they've been there, and of course they've obviously been telling stories about how what a wonderful spot it is, and they're now going to see it firsthand for themselves when they come to Adelaide at the end of the year.
All right, then. Well, Paul Ryan, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you. All the best in Le Mans. We look forward to hearing from you as you return from that, hopefully with a Panos victory.
No problem. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks very much to Paul Ryan. Joining us here on the GMC 400 show, and as we have to wrap up now, I know you had a great weekend, and I think everyone that went out there, through whatever dramas you might have had getting to work on the Thursday or the Friday, they were all eroded as soon as the cars got on the track.
Yes, that's often the case, particularly for me. I always grumble about certain things in the lead-up to events, but once you're in your seat and the field comes around to take the green flag, it's always makes everything forgiven. And I think it was the case also for this weekend. Sure, there's things that they can improve, and I'm sure they will. But I think all in all, a very successful race. A couple of things I have here is one of the most remarkable things is that I think there's about 8 cars out of the full field that really got through without some significant damage of one sort or another, whether it's bust up spoilers and headlights or a whack in the back. Two in particular that took a very big hit, Jason Barguana saw his car up on the truck, pretty well twisted up, and of course John Faulkner, also another one that he didn't start the third race. They were busy packing up their transporter at the time. Some heavy damage there as well. So I think it's going to be one for strategy for team managers as well, thinking about which car do you take to next year's event. Do you keep your number one car safely locked up in the workshop and take last year's car to this event?
Mm. But for fans of the VX Supercars, Queensland is the next round, round number 7, and then we do get them back down here at Winton very soon.
Yes, Winton's only about a month away, and it'll be quite excellent to get down there again and see the boys in action. And in terms of the overall championship, I have the updated point score here. Mark Scaife maintains his lead, in fact extends it a little bit thanks to some good results there. He's now on 764 points. Glenn Seaton, thanks to a very good weekend, he's moved up into second place for 638 points. I think he's very, very happy to get away with two straight and clean cars. Garth Tander slips back. He got no points at all from this weekend. He slips back and now remains on 584 points. Just running down the order now, we then have Lowndes, Radisich, Longhurst, Murphy, and they're pretty well grouped together, so not a whole lot of difference in them. Ingle, Richards, and Steve Johnson rounds up the top 10.
I was afforded the opportunity to spend the time in the Gary Rogers Motorsport pit on the weekend, and particularly in the first race, the gamut of emotions that Terry Rogers and the team went through in that event was quite astounding. We saw that at the start of the race, here's Garth Tander winning the top 15 shootout to get himself up onto the pole position. On lap 3, a realisation had come to the team that Garth Tander was not going to win this race because he was going to lose all the track position, because the fellas who pitted got a lucky safety car and put them right on his tail.
Yeah, I think the V8 drivers, each time they come to a race that has pit stops and safety cars can throw a spanner into the works, they've often caught out a bit. And I think as we get more and more rounds that have that as an important element, they'll get better and better with it. And eventually they'll be something like NASCAR or CART, where it's an everyday part of the event. And they have automatic strategies that if incident A happens, bingo, this is what you do. You don't need to think about it. You just jump in and do these things.
Now, I do want to just finally finish off with the Bush Grand National results. Of course, I think Fox Sport are showing that tomorrow on a take-delayed basis, but I just wanted to run through here. Jeff Green has picked up his second victory for the season. The next quick driver had really taken the charge on Saturday evening at the South Boston Speedway. Green won the 300-mile event, extending his lead in the NASCAR Busch Grand National Division standings in the process. The flopper, Tony Raines, has finally done something this season after being the Rookie of the Year last year. He has finished second, whilst Elton Sawyer, Ron Hornaday and Richie Bickle, and Rich Bickle also having not the best of seasons, rounded out the top five. For those of you who missed Wade Auger a little bit earlier, the World of Outlaws at Bristol saw Brooke Tatnall taking a ninth position there, a fantastic win. And also Bobby Labonte will be starting off the pole at the NASCAR race at Michigan tomorrow. That is live on Fox.
Now, Craig, I saw some joker getting around in the pits today with a jacket that had Tony Raines on there. What's the story?
What? Oh, I worked for him for a year.
Why do you think I'm happy to I'm going to read you out of Busch Grand National replace just to give you his second place?
I think we should come clean here and disclose our conflicts of interest.
No, don't worry about that. He's driving a bloody piece of junk. That's why he's not doing so well this year. And I don't think he would be upset by me saying that. For the fans of the IRL, of course, there's one of you out there other than me, I'm sure. The Casino Magic 500 was postponed, like just about all the other racing in Australia this weekend. And Buddy Lazier will be starting off the pole when it gets underway at 1 p.m. Texas time tomorrow. Inside Motorsport is supposed to conclude now, and the AFL show is coming up very, very soon. We'll take a short break, and hopefully we will be back with all the AFL scores after this.
People who can't read and write as well as they'd like to, and not on their own, it's easy to get help. Phone 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline. 1300 655 06. It's never too late to learn, and it's easier than you think. If you know someone who'd like to improve their reading and writing, phone 1300 655 06. Go on, do it.
And we must remind you too that the Revolution Race Gear GST, pre-GST sale is underway from now up until that dastardly tax does hit.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple SFM Canberra via Comrade Sat with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.